And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Ding, ding!
How about we can just watch basketball?
How about we can just watch basketball?
Hello and welcome to the Daily Ding right here on the Athletic NBA Show. I'm Dave DeFore here with Mo DeKeel for your Tuesday night recap. Only three games, but a lot of action. And first, we've got to start with a little bit of news. You know, the fight from the other night. Denver Nuggets star Nikola Jokic has been suspended one game for shoving Miami's Markieff Morris from behind Monday night. Morris himself was fined $50,000 for his flagrant two, which initiated the incident. Jimmy Butler was also fined by the league $30,000 for attempting to escalate the altercation and for failing to comply with the NBA security interview. Mo, first of all, does this suspension for Jokic and Morris seem about right?
Well, there's no suspension for Morris, and
sorry,
that seems
yes, the fine,
and that seems right to me. Because had Jokic not hit him, it would have just been a flagrant two. He would have been ejected. That would have been the end of that whole situation. Morris and Butler, fine. Jokic, two ways to look at it. One, I think he should have gotten five games, to be honest with you. I think that was a very dirty play. Now, precedent, I expected this to just be one game because under precedent, Patrick Beverley did the same thing to Chris Paul as they were walking away for a timeout. I actually think Beverley's was worse, and Beverley only got one game. So if Beverley only got one game, I didn't think there was a way Jokic was going to get more than one game. But if I had the power, Dave, both those guys would have gotten five games.
I don't hate that, Mo. And I got to ask you about the Jimmy Butler thing. Is this a Heat culture thing?
I don't know. I mean, Jimmy's kind of a tough guy, sort of quote unquote type of deal. I mean, like if he really wanted to do something, he was inches away from Jokic. At the time this all happened, he was on the court. Like, he could have done something.
Yeah, and to be fair, if you go and watch that video, people didn't stay around Jokic for very long.
You don't mess with Serbians.
Yeah,
listen,
yeah.
Listen,
clear it out.
I love all Serbs. You don't mess with them.
That's right.
Listen, that's my thing. Don't mess with them.
In our early game, we saw the shorthanded Bucks hold off the even more shorthanded Philadelphia 76ers 118-109. And Mo, look, there's not a lot that we can really take away from this one, but you got to love the fight that you're seeing from the Sixers role players being forced into an even larger role in this game because no Embiid, no Harris. And look, this is just a continuation of the story for the Sixers so far this year. Role players having to step up, take on new roles. And honestly, like they really did. They were in this game until late. And I thought they had a chance, Mo.
Yeah, no. And, you know, it's not just no Embiid, no Harris, no Matisse Thybulle, no Seth Curry. Like, that's three starters and your first guy off the bench type of situation for what the Sixers are missing. We know the Bucks are shorthanded, no Lopez and no Middleton, but that's not the same. Like, they still have Giannis, and Giannis was awesome in this game. But you are right, Dave. Those role players really had an unbelievable game. You know, just Shake Milton and Tyrese Maxey combined for 51 points. You really can't ask for more from those guys. You just knew that they didn't have enough firepower. But I'm going to say this, Dave. This is going to go a long way for the Sixers in terms of all of these guys getting reps. This is going to play so much better in the long term for them, even though they're going to end up dropping a couple more games because of this.
Absolutely. And I think they got some good looks at guys who are not Embiid and not Simmons that might be options to guard Giannis. Speaking of Giannis, he turned it on in the fourth, and that's when the Bucks, you know, took control of the game. Winds up with 31, 16 rebounds. I mean, you know, Giannis is looking great. But I really think Grayson Allen was kind of the start of this game for the Bucks. He's been great for them in the starting lineup all year. 25 points in this game, 5 of 9 from 3. I mean, what do you think about Grayson Allen plugged into this starting lineup?
I mean, he's been a great addition to the team, like you were saying. I mean, like tonight he picks up the slack on a time where Drew Holiday didn't have it. He just went 4 for 14, really kind of struggled from the field. Everything you're seeing from these guys like Grayson Allen, also Bobby Portis came in and gave him a big lift as well. But I think those were the guys that made a big difference for the Bucks, and just kind of, they had to come back in this game, Dave. Like they were down, you know, 13 at one point. They had to battle back and then being able to hold off the Sixers. It was more than just Giannis, but it was those other two guys. You know, they needed every bit from Allen and Portis.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more. Donovan Mitchell scored 27, and the Jazz beat the Hawks 110-98. And look, the Jazz are a fantastic regular season team because they are so hard to beat at home. They got huge performances from role players tonight, Mo. And this is the sort of thing that just makes them a buzzsaw all year long.
Yeah, you know, I'm going to apologize to Utah fans because this is just going to be the reality of it, right? Like, we're going to have to see what it looks like in the playoffs. This is the Utah Jazz. They are a very, very, very good basketball team, you know, and they're even getting great play out of Hassan Whiteside, which is a bit of a surprise in my book in everything that they're doing. I just think when you're watching them, this is, we need to see what it looks like come playoff time just because of the years past. Is that unfair? Yes, Dave, but we did this to the Bucks last year. And, you know, we tend to do this with teams. You got to prove it in the playoffs because we've seen this story before of them being dominant in the regular season. We know they're fully capable of that.
Did you see when Rudy Gobert caught Trae Young on the switch on the perimeter? What'd you think about that, Mo? That was interesting to me.
Yeah, I mean, this is what we're going to need to see from Rudy a little more often. Now, you know, him being able to guard on the perimeter is going to be key. The other thing from the Jazz I'm interested in seeing is when they go small, which won't happen for a while because still no Rudy Gay available. And we haven't seen much of that with Eric Pascal, but it's key there. Part of it is Gobert being able to switch on the guards takes them a long way in terms of the playoffs when teams will just go five out on them.
On the other side, you've got the Atlanta Hawks and they're scuffling a bit, but Trae Young, Kevin Huerter, great in this game. And I thought that, you know, defensively, Huerter was even pretty good. I mean, it was a good two-way performance from him. But in spite of, I mean, you get this kind of performance from those guys and drop the game. I mean, it just seems like the rest of the team kind of let him down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, they just struggled. I mean, you get 3 of 11 from John Collins for just 7 points and only 4 rebounds. Like, if he's not scoring, he's got to do some of the other things. Struggled on that side of the court. Just struggled really containing Rudy Gobert and dealing with the guards. You know, yeah. I think that's one of those things. And this is – it has felt like, Dave, the Hawks' defense just in general this season has been very – I don't want to say apathetic – but they just haven't had the full energy that we've seen them have in the past. And it's really kind of troubling because I think everybody sort of pegged them at the start of this season to be a team that's really going to be something that's sort of a dark horse. And I mean, struggling, 5 straight losses at this point, pretty big right now.
Well, I guess it's a good time to ask. I mean, now that they've lost 5 straight, should they think about shaking things up a little bit? Maybe Cam Reddish needs to get into the starting lineup. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a lot of options. This is just one of those teams, too, that just has so much talent. You know, it's still too early to talk trades, but there might be a consolidation trade there. They might need to make a move and send two guys out to bring one back to kind of help clear up roles. Because I think that's some of the issue right now is just trying to figure out their roles, how many minutes they're going to get consistently on a regular basis with everything. I mean, we got to, like, Bogdanović doesn't play tonight, and that puts Herter in the starting lineup, right? Like, so just all of these things continue to kind of jump around. They need to start kind of figuring out who's who.
Yeah, you look at the box score and you see 7 minutes for Danilo Gallinari, and when you it matches the eye test, that's about all you wanted to see out of him, because the Utah Jazz were hunting him. And so, you know, this is a team that can put defenders at just about every position except for point guard, and honestly, Trae Young, the effort has improved. Now, maybe not so far this year, but we did see an improved effort last year. So I think that this team obviously has another level. We think they can play better. Want to see how it looks, like you said, Mo, if they start considering consolidation.
One more thing, Dave. Trae Young can't have 6 assists and 6 turnovers. 1-to-1 assist to turnover ratio is not going to work for this team, and Trae Young has to value the ball just better than that.
In the late game, the Clippers beat the Blazers 117-109. And the story of this game, Paul George. He was fantastic. 24 points. He had 9 rebounds, 7 assists. And Mo, I was really impressed with some of the passes he was throwing. I mean, getting penetration and finding shooters out on the wing. And it just felt like, hey, man, it was a good night for the Clippers. 16 of 30 from 3. And it all started with Paul George.
Yeah, just, you know, he knows he's going to get all the attention on every night. Like, this is one of those things where without Kawhi Leonard out there, he's the number one guy. Everybody's going to be paying attention on him. So he's not afraid to dime it out. And as long as those guys are knocking down shots, it just makes it easier even to make those passes. You're more eager to make that pass because you have that trust in those guys with them just knocking down all those threes.
Speaking of guys knocking down shots, Nick Batum had 17 second half points, 22 for the game, was 6 of 8 from 3, and helped hold off a Portland Trailblazers kind of fake comeback, spurred on by a couple of Lillard threes where I think we both kind of thought he might have started getting going. But Batum was awesome in this one. Zubac was awesome. And a little bit of an Isaiah Hartenstein revenge game, 6 of 7 from the field, 14 points. Where'd that come from, Mo?
Yo, he's good. Like, I remember when I was doing Brody and the Beard with Kelly Eco. Shout out my man Ecosystem. We would talk about Isaiah all the time right before they went to the super small ball. He's a solid basketball player, good passer. He beat out Harry Giles for that final spot on the Clippers roster. And a lot of it had to do with just his ability to be a smart little playmaker, little just smart plays. Bledsoe drives, he circles up to the restricted area, gets a big dunk off of the play. Just smart playing off of everybody. You know, he's solid. He's a solid player, man.
Yeah, Ty Lue has these guys cutting all over the court, and I thought he did a really great job of making himself available early and often. For the Blazers, look, Damian Lillard's going to be the story every single night until they start winning games. He had 27 in this one, was 4 of 13 from 3. I didn't think it was that bad of a shooting performance. Some of these were tough shots. But, Mo, I mean, when is this story going to go away? What do we need to see from Dame?
We need to see Dame blow up. It's that simple, you know, and it's, I think we're all just waiting for the eruption. He's not a bad player. This is not going to be something that's going to last all season. You know, he has a tendency from time to time start slow. Looks like he might be dealing a little bit with an abdominal strain and doesn't necessarily look right, but he's just got to blow up. Once he erupts, once he rips the Band-Aid off, Dave, that thing's going to gush and everybody's just going to be like, yeah, Dame's back.
Well, we're going to rip the Band-Aid off this show. That's going to do it for today's show, folks. Don't forget about all the pods we've got at The Athletic. We've got more action coming up here on The Athletic NBA Show. For Mo Dekeel, I'm Dave DeFore. You guys have a great day. Mo, take us away.
Ding, ding.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a 1-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.